Our scripture is the fifth chapter of the first letter of the Thessalonians. Now, brothers and sisters, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should be a surprise like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep at night and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. We ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage those who are disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit and soul be kept blameless and at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I just want to add my thanks to Jessica because I gave Adam a list of songs that I wanted to do, and she picked one of them and brought it forth, and I am doubly blessed. And Adam, I hate to tell you, but sooner or later, you're just going to be Jessica's husband instead of her being Adam's wife. But let us pray. Almighty God, as we come before you today, we come as we begin our time of Lent. Help us to understand what it means and how it is that we're supposed to go about it. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. So, as we read the scripture, it certainly sounds like everything's fine and no one needs to change anything, right? Actually, he seems to look at every part of life and talk about building one another up and looking forward to being something more. I really do look at Lent as a road to a destination. And as I picked up on the theme, I decided that it is a process, a road that we travel, and that we are definitely under construction. One of the things that I find interesting is the dual nature of most people. And it was laid out very well. Preachers have groups, they have magazines, and they have their own comic strips. And one of the comic strips that is very popular among pastors is one called Kudzo. And Kudzo is a pastor in the South. And this is a simple three-panel comic. It says, how many people want the church to change and grow? And everybody raises their hand. How many people want to change? All the hands go down. How many people want to lead the change? And you turn around and the place is empty. Because we do want change, we do want growth, we do want things to happen, but we want it to leave us alone. Because we as individuals are comfortable with the way they are now. Lent is God's way of saying, I need to move you to a new place. I need to remind you of what is happening, what is going on. I don't know how many people of you could have gotten this, but it was a daily double on Jeopardy. And they said, which is acknowledged to be the first book of the New Testament? Almost everybody answered Matthew because it's the first book in the New Testament, but actually, it's Thessalonians. The first book written in the New Testament is Thessalonians, the letter that was read to you today. It's written less than 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And Paul is already looking at the churches saying, you need to retool and grow. That ideal time when the perfect church existed must have been really short. Because he's already looking at them and saying, build one another up, even as you are, because you're meant to be something more. As I said, many people give up something for Lent. In the Catholic tradition, it is something that you do in order to focus your mind on Jesus. I've seen some really cute examples of this. One is a card that literally says, think about Jesus, and the mom has put it in the cookie jar. So when the kid reaches in for a cookie, he runs into a sign that says, remember Jesus. I can see us putting it on the remote to the television. I can see us doing it in a variety of different ways, but this denial only works if the denial causes you to remember and reflect on Jesus. But you see, before that, something has to happen. If you were to honestly answer this question, how would you answer it? Are you currently living the full, abundant life that God has planned for you? I think most of us have to say, not quite, almost, not at all, because there is a constancy to it, I think one of the things that's very difficult about preaching the gospel in the United States, I think, is playing out during this COVID time. I know lots of people who faithfully wore their mask for a while. People who were all on fire because they were going to be sequestered for 3 weeks to flatten the curve. Do you remember that back in March of last year? You see, you give Americans a clear goal, a clear time frame, a specific challenge, and they will knock it out of the park. Remember the first time I remember this, there was a little girl in Texas. Her name was Baby Jessica, and she fell down the well. Every engineer in the country, world, offered their advice, offered their equipment, offered everything they had to get Baby Jessica out of the well. By the time Baby Jessica was pulled from the well, she wasn't even a year old, and she had a full college scholarship funded for her and a medical account to take care of her. There was a specific goal. There was a specific target. And Americans responded. That's the way we work. So the problem with Christianity is all you have to do is take up your cross daily. Lay down your life daily. And follow me daily. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Every day when you wake up, do it again. Well, it doesn't work that way. G.K. Chesterton, the great English Christian author, said that it isn't that Christianity has been tried and found wanting. Christianity has been tried and found difficult and left untried. See, I am amused and blessed by the way God has created. I tend to preach a Christian calendar. I go through the year because I love the way we have this year open and we're worshiping along, and all of a sudden we go into Advent to focus ourselves for Christmas. And then we go through Epiphany and we come out the other side, and 6 weeks later we come into Lent to refocus ourselves for Easter. And then we remember the resurrection. And then 40 days later we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and allow ourselves to be renewed. And then it happens again. It's almost as if God knew we were going to struggle and fall away. It's almost like the creator of heaven and earth and the creator of you and I knew that we would need 2 and 3 and 4 chances every year to come back, to retool, to turn back again. See, my problem is I get up every morning and I try, but I get slightly less motivated and ambitious. I look at the target, but the follow-through starts to fail. Albert Einstein was a very strange man. He was a brilliant man. He was eccentric as all get out. But he had a saying that I think is very, very bold. He says, the most important things in life are simple. And if you can't express something complicated in a simple way, you don't understand it yet. And it takes me back to a song that I heard when I was in choir camp. Man, I don't even know how old I was. Early elementary, anyway. And I had forgotten about it until I was in the military and I was in Louisville, Kentucky. In Louisville, Kentucky, is Fort Knox. And I went to a gospel concert that night, and I heard these words come back to me. Jessica, be patient with me. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient I know he must be, 'cause he's still working on me. Powerful. Simple. The verse goes, there really ought to be a sign on my heart. Don't judge him yet. There's still an unfinished part. But I'll be better just according to his plan as I'm fashioned by the Master's loving hand. Lent is a time where God does his work on us. The barrier to that is that he tends to work on what we allow him to work on. He'll work on our prayer life. He'll work on our Bible study. He'll work on our language. He'll work on our diet. He'll work on what we give him, what we turn over to him, what we surrender to him. But many of us, how many people have ever broken a bone, had a cast on their arm or their leg? The best part of that is trying to take a shower. Because you have to take a shower with the cast out of the shower. It's one of the most unsatisfying things I think there is. I really love a shower, and I'm kind of worried that someday I'll get an unlimited hot water supply because I may never come out. But when you finally get that cast off and you can take a whole shower again, it is a blessing like you never understood because it had been denied to you for that long. Too many of us are going to go into Lent and we're going to say, everything but that, Lord. Please don't ask me to go there. You don't get the blessing that God has for you if you hold something back. You have to acknowledge that you're under construction and allow him to be the one that does the work in you. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come before you, we're about to begin the process of Lent. Help us to make an honest appraisal of who we are and what we are, how close we are to living that fully abundant life. And help us to turn over these pieces, turn over all the parts. Let him take hold and restore us to what we were intended to be. Lord, we pray for this Arise Church community and congregation. Help it to be the kind of place that would lift us up when we're doing well and build one another up in the areas when we're not. When the Lord comes, we pray that he would say, build one another up like you're already doing. Because that's what it means to be the church. That's what it means to be your church, O Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.